first time I ever wore a lapel mic. Is this going to the government?
Yeah.
Amen. At six years old, I discovered a picture in Dad's office, and I saw there were people going to hell and there were people going to heaven. And it clicked in my mind because the people going to heaven were going across a sculptured cross that was going over the pit of hell. And that clicked in my six-year-old brain, I understood what that meant. And though I had seen that picture a few times, it actually didn't click until that time. And that I believe that was when the Holy Spirit was talking to me, Amen. Talking to my spirit. And I told Dad I'm ready to get saved, so he led me in the Spirit's prayer. But since then, you know, the devil knows how to attack us. He knows how to cause us to have doubts. And I've had, you know, doubts that did I really mean it as a six-year-old boy? Did I really understand everything that was being told to me? And it takes God's word, His scripture to, I mean, God, anytime we come to points like that in our life, God wants us to always go back to scripture,
Amen.
Be able to get that assurance. Because
yes,
God doesn't want us to live our life constantly going back to doubting whether we're saved.
You're right there.
He wants us to live with that victory in mind.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Go ahead and turn to Book of Psalms, chapter 119. Book of Psalms, chapter 119. And I went to college there in Lexington for a while to get a Bible degree. I thought I was going to get a Bible degree of missions, to be a missionary just like my dad. The Lord had different plans, so I just was able to get a bachelor degree of biblical studies, which is basically the basic bachelor degree. A bachelor's degree doesn't make us any higher than anyone else. It just means that we've had the privilege of learning. Though I feel like a lot of what I learned half asleep, so I don't remember it. So I mean, a lot of things, you know, from college I've forgotten. I haven't been able to latch on to, be able to remember. I find myself having to go back to the Lord, God's Word, to find out the answer to things, because a college doesn't give you the answers to everything in life.
Yes.
College basically just gives you knowledge that sometimes your brain can handle all of it, sometimes your brain can't. And my brain couldn't handle it.
Bless you, brother.
We're going to read verses 1 through 16. Verse 1 through 16. Lord had been working on my heart this week about this. And it goes right along with what Pastor Mike preached this morning. When he asked me to preach tonight, kind of took me off guard. So at first I refused, but then the Holy Spirit just kept on working with me and telling me I need to. This is why he's been, you know, speaking to me this week about it.
Amen.
And so I went ahead, and then as soon as I heard what the pastor preached this morning, it just put the nail in the hammer, put the hammer on the nail.
There you go.
I'm going to go ahead and pray before I get started.
Bless you, brother.
Lord, please bless the service. Lord, please be with my mouth. Lord, help me not to say anything outside of your word or anything that will hinder anybody spiritually. Lord, preaching in the pulpit is a privilege that we can't take for granted. Lord, if we speak anything outside of your word, Lord, you promise to bring that back to us being our fault for helping somebody go astray. Lord, help me be able to speak only what your Holy Spirit wants me to speak. And be able to help others spiritually, if I may, Lord, that you'd be able to use me to help somebody in need. And Lord, though we all are in need tonight, every last one of us, Lord, we need something from you. Help us all be able to listen with attentive ears. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bible says in Psalms 119, verses 1 through 16, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be afraid when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It don't matter what age we are, we all fit in that category of young men compared to, especially compared to people in the Bible who lived up to 900 and some years old. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. We could read God's word every day, every morning, every night, however much we choose, but it can never affect us if we don't allow it to.
Amen.
We can't just expect us to get a basic knowledge of what we're reading and be able to remember certain verses, certain maybe scripture passages, and be able to just say, okay, I remember what I read, so evidently then I'm being able to get it into my heart. That's not how God works. God doesn't work by just affecting our mind, remembering scriptures. God works affecting our hearts.
Yes, sir.
He wants to go directly to our hearts,
Amen.
Not just to our brain.
Amen.
Though I've had parents in my life who've taught me the right way. They've taught me to what to stay away from, what to do. My dad has always taught us boys to read our Bible. Mom always made sure we read our Bible every morning. And that's just the way the Bible has it. He tells us to obey our mom's law and abide by our father's principles. And I think that's the way every family should be. See, the dad knows what principles to ingrain into the children. The dad knows how to affect the children in that manner. The mom knows what laws to give to the children. And children ought to, even as grown-ups, I know the Bible says children obey your parents. But even as grown-ups, the Bible also calls us children.
Yeah.
As long as we've got parents, even if they're in heaven, we're also called children. He calls the children of Israel. He's not just talking about the young kids who play in the streets or play with sports. He's talking about adults, older people, younger people. It doesn't matter what the age. We're all called children. I had somebody say before he was teaching a lesson saying that when the Bible speaks about children, obey your parents for this is right, he's just talking about young children. And although that does seem logical, we as adults also should be striving to obey our parents because how we honor them. Now, if it's something contradicting the Bible, I understand disobeying a direct contradiction to the Bible would be the right thing to do. As long as the Holy Spirit, you know, guides us in that manner. But we're all named children. And we all ought to honor our parents, obey them. And our parents, praise the Lord, we've had godly parents who have reared us in the Word. Dad's always told us boys to go to the Word whenever we come into problems. And anytime we are getting ready to make a decision in life. And through my teenage years, I knew what I was supposed to do. I had been practicing it, but not enough. I've been practicing it here, not practicing it there. And God wants us to practice it every day. And that's what our dad and mom have been trying to tell us, boys, you need to be practicing this every day. I thought as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, such as reading my Bible, saying a few prayers, things like this, I'd be okay. But then the trials and then the temptations came along, and my responses to those temptations only worked out. I was only able to get enough strength out of to endure those as much as I was read in the Bible and allowing the Lord to speak to me.
Yes, sir.
And sad to say, I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to lead me 100%. We all have a hard time every day doing that. Mm-hmm. But the times I would let myself not be spoken to by the Holy Spirit, I'd lose the battles, and I'd wonder why I'm not able to endure these temptations, endure these trials, even all the way through college. You'd think at a Bible college, people would be able to have an easy time following the Lord. Even in Bible college, I think that was the hardest time of my life to follow the Lord, and it's because the devil knows where to attack most of all.
Exactly.
He knows that Bible colleges is where God is going to get His people to spread His gospel and help out Him in the ministry. And so He attacks Bible colleges the most.
You got that right.
So in Bible college, instead of spending more time in God's Word, I allowed myself just to go through the routine of classes, go through the routine of going to my job, going to sleep, going to classes, going to job. I'd read my Bible in the morning. I'd check it off the list, just like you said. And so I thought I was okay, but I wasn't allowing the Lord to speak to me. I was allowing Him to fill my heart with His Word. And so I made some wrong choices. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me for them. And I've ever since then, I've felt so ashamed for the choices I made. I thought I'd never, the Lord would never be able to use me again. And He's shown me different. He's shown me that it's not what we do, what we've done, that will cease our service from Him. It's what are we going to allow Him to do through us.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Three enemies are always seeking to steal God's Word from our hearts. The name of this is originally going to be a devotion, but the name of this sermon is Hid Away in Our Hearts. What is hid away in our hearts? Three enemies are always seeking to steal God's Word from our hearts: Satan, the world, and our flesh.
Yeah.
Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows in every area of our life where we're weak, where we're strong. The world hates anything or anyone that has anything to do with God. Our flesh is born with a sinful nature because of Adam's disobedience and because of our choices, and it is always seeking new ways to gratify itself no matter the cost. Our flesh doesn't care how much sin costs us. It doesn't how much our choices to not follow God will cost us. It just seeks to gratify itself.
Amen.
With
yes.
all three of these enemies, God has told us how to keep ourselves from going down in the fight. Number one, we must first believe that God's Word is God's Word and nothing else.
Amen.
And that nothing else is God's Word. This came to my mind this week about how we seek different solutions to our problems, and we may acknowledge God's Word as a solution to our problems, but we don't acknowledge it as the solution. We want to find an answer to our problems in it and something else. By saying this, I mean that God's Word is the only one who can bring peace to us in the midst of our problems, anxieties, worries, times of guilt, shame, or regrets. This means we must stop looking for earthly things that will bring the peace we're looking for. Too many times we look for somebody or something who can bring an end to all of our problems. We sit down, we think of all the problems we have, and we think, okay, who can I go to fix all this? Or what can I go to or find an answer in to put an end to all of our problems? We as earthly beings, we want to stop everything, be able to have an easy life, which is understandable because we are in these physical bodies. We look for something else that will give us peace from all of our anxieties, but in doing so, we miss the one who can and will give us that perfect peace.
Yes.
Go ahead, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. Isaiah chapter 26. I continued my college classes through Revival Fires Baptist College headed by Dr. Dennis Coral, and pastor showed me a picture of him in a while ago when he was in a church and he's being taken out of the church by the police force. And I remember him telling that story in one of his classes. Took him through DVDs, and he had gone to the second row back from the front rows. I think he was visiting the church, or maybe he had helped start the church, but he was second row back, and he had gripped his arms around the two legs in the middle of the pew, and he said it took six policemen to get him out of there. He was the last one in the auditorium, and it took six of them to get him out of there. I don't remember the whole story about why they were coming to get him. It was something to do with him not submitting to whatever law they had state, that's what it was, and which is very unbiblical. The church isn't to be under the government, which he knew that, and so he was doing right what he's doing. But I thought that was neat that the pastor had a picture of that. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4 says, "Thou wilt keep him, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee,
Amen.
Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Mm-hmm. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Who's thou? The Amen. Lord, God Almighty, the only God who can help us through our problems. As long as we, in our own power, are trying to fix the problems in our lives, or even the problems that we may have caused, we'll never be able to fix whatever the problem or the problems are. Psalms 119, verse 4. Go ahead and go back to Psalms 119, verse 4. Psalms 119, verse 4 says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." God has commanded all of us to keep his precepts. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of 1828 gives us the definition of precept as a command or principle intended especially as a general rule of action and an order issued by legally constituted authority to a subordinate official. We are the subordinate officials
Amen.
To God and to Christ. And so every precept, a lot of times we may get confused about, okay, we're supposed to obey the Bible, but what are we supposed to obey in the Bible? The Ten Commandments, his new commandments he gave in the New Testament. A lot of it is just history, you know, history rewritten, Lord telling us what happened to different people, and then we're commanded to obey it. What end are we supposed to obey? And the more we study it and search it, letting the Holy Spirit show us what God wants us to do, that's what the Lord wants us to obey.
Amen.
Not just looking for certain things in the Bible, saying, okay, I'll obey that, and I'll obey that, and writing it down and saying, okay, here's my list, what I'll obey. I'll keep it with me, I'll put it in my pocket, that's what I'm supposed to do. Lord wants us to constantly be looking for things to obey. So maybe it's somebody's life story, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit tells us, okay, I gave you this story today because this is what I want you to do, or this is what you're going to face, and so I want you to stay away from for today. That's our obedience to Christ.
Amen. Good, brother.
Amen.
I've noticed in my life that whenever I come against something in my life that is causing problems to me or maybe even to those around me, sometimes even things that I've caused, I begin looking for ways that I can fix it. The longer I spend looking for a way to fix it, God is up in heaven patiently waiting, wondering when I'm going to give him a chance to show his power and fix whatever it is. Some problems God chooses not to fix because he knows they're good for us, but he promises to bring us through whatever it might be. But then there are some things that we've caused because of following our fleshly desires, maybe because of money, an addiction, simply not following God's leading. That also causes us, that also is counted as disobedience, is when we just simply don't follow God's leading, spending time in his word, following what he tells us through his word every day. That is called disobedience according to God's word. We cannot expect to fix something we've done in our power. We must simply place our trust in God and trust that he'll fix a problem that we've caused. Illustration, imagine a boy named Jimmy is playing one morning in the living room of his parents' house, and his parents tell him not to go near a very expensive vase sitting on the table. Jimmy forgets what his parents told him and ends up breaking the vase. I could easily be called Jimmy there because there's a lot of times that happened when I was younger. The dad tells when they come in, the dad tells Jimmy he must spank him now because he disobeyed their direct command. I do still believe in spankings. I believe that they still work. I'm not afraid to say that no matter what people say nowadays. I've tried to tell people at work about them, and they just look at me like I'm some kind of child abuser. And then they tell me stories about what they tried to do to punish their child, which is even more abusive than spankings.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's something they've verbally said or yelling at their child or locking them up. I don't know. But I think Lord always knew what he was saying when he tells us to use the rod. Later that morning, okay, so Jimmy ends up breaking the vase. His dad spanks Jimmy. Later that morning, his parents tell him they're going to town for the day and we'll be back that evening, and that he must complete a list of chores they have posted on the refrigerator. So they've given him this list of chores to do, but as soon as his parents leave, Jimmy begins feeling really bad for what he did and spends the rest of the day trying to glue the broken vase back together instead of completing the list his parents had given him.
Come on, this is good.
Upon returning back home, his parents enter the living room and his dad pulls out of a grocery bag a brand new vase and places it on the table.
Amen.
Where the old one used to be. Jimmy realizes his mistake of putting forth all that effort to fix the old one because his father had paid the price for a new one. Many times we do that in our life. We end up making
Amen.
A mistake somewhere.
You're right,
we end up
Amen.
Committing some kind of sin that affects us or affects those around us, and we spend a great deal of time trying to fix that, trying to find a way to help the situation, maybe help somebody who we've affected. And the Lord's trying to say to us from heaven and from his word that we need to stop and let him do the work.
Amen.
Him help those, him
yes,
help
sir.
Somebody else that we've affected. He'll
Amen.
Do that job. He just wants us to start obeying him again and do what he wants to do. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid mine heart that I might not sin against thee." It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Lord brought that word hid to my mind, and I started asking the question, why are we hiding it in our heart? We're hiding it. So, when you hide something, that means you're trying to keep somebody from saying it or getting to it. Now, we're supposed to spread the word, tell others about the word. So what came to my mind is we're not trying to keep people from saying it. We're trying to keep people from getting to it. We're hiding it from somebody who's wanting to come and take it. Who is that one that's trying to take it? We must hide God's word so nobody can steal it. Somebody's out there to steal God's word out of our heart. If we let Satan or the world find out how to steal God's word from us, they will.
Amen.
Satan is always trying to look for ways he can hinder us from keeping God's word in our heart. Keeping God's word in your heart isn't something you memorize, and as long as you have it in your mind, you're good. The Lord will help that bring your mind. He wants us to constantly keep it in our heart, and that's more than just memorizing it. That's also living it day by day.
Amen.
Yes.
Book of Jeremiah. Go ahead and turn to the Book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and verse 30. Jeremiah 23 and verse 30 says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." So people who preach God's word aren't the only ones called prophets. God calls other people who are trying to brainwash other people and stealing God's word from other people's hearts, he also calls them prophets.
Amen.
They're out to steal God's word from our hearts, whether they be people at our work, people, somebody we respect that is against God. A lot of times we allow them to come in our pathway of learning more about God. And even something we've learned about God, sometimes we allow other people to come into our life and steal that away. And we totally forget what we had learned about God. Because you can spend 30 years learning about God, and you can spend 30 minutes and forget all that.
Amen.
And the Bible is very clear that if we allow ourselves to forget about the one we're serving by not following him,
yes, sir.
It's very hard to learn about him again, what we had already learned, and that's by spending time in his word again.
Amen.
Go ahead and go to the book of Luke And by it being hard, I mean it takes more work to get that back.
Yeah.
Book of Luke, chapter 8. Book of Luke, chapter 8, verse number 12. And I've noticed I've learned more about the Lord reading it through an actual Bible than I have on, say, a phone or tablet or some kind of screen. They say your brain, when it sees something on a screen, you have a whole lot harder time remembering it later than if you actually see it on the actual page, because your brain sees, remembers it according to where it saw it on the page.
Yeah.
And when you're flipping through it or scrolling through it, your brain is going, okay, well, where did I see that? Luke chapter 8, verse 12 says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So we've already seen two things that can steal God's word out of our hearts, and that's the devil and that's the prophets. And so the three enemies, you see the devil coming to steal God's word out of our hearts, the prophets, which can also be called the world, and then third enemy is our flesh, and that's what allows those other two enemies to steal it from our hearts. No matter how much studying we might have done in our life, no matter how much learning, if we don't hide it away, if we don't put it away every day of our life, it has to be done at a daily basis, confessing our sin, realizing God's power to change us, not just trying to fix something we've done in our life, but realizing God has all the power that He can do that, and that we're not going to be dealing with this life very much longer.
Amen.
We're very close to going to heaven.
Yeah.
All the only prophecy yet to come is the rapture.
Yeah.
And everything that's been going on around us should get us excited. I tend to, when I see what's going around, be very discouraged about not being able to, live life for the Lord more easily, because we're still able to live our life for the Lord, just it might not be as easy as it used to be, and it's been mainly our faults as Christians for allowing the world to get a grip on what it's gotten a grip on. But what should excite us every day is that we're not going to be here much longer.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to go to heaven.
Amen.
Heaven's very, very close.
Yes,
and
sir.
The joy you get, I was talking about this earlier today, the joy you get when you know everything's right with the Lord, and you're singing a song of praise, or you hear somebody on maybe like a audio track, or somebody just singing a very joyful with all the instruments. God is very clear that He rejoices when instruments are played for Him.
Amen.
And when you hear, this isn't so much nowadays because not very many people want to use their talents for the Lord that they've learned in their life. They want to use it for pop music or rock music or jazz or rap, which rap, I don't know why it's not even called music, because rap's not music. None of the other stuff is either. It's just a bunch of heathen noise is what a lot of that other stuff is. And I liked what you said this morning, Pastor, about congregationals, because that should be our favorite when people ask us. If somebody were to ask you what your favorite music is, we all should be able to say that, congregationals. And we should use that in our life, because I really like that. I've always wondered, okay, should I say gospel? No, because they think, okay, gospel rock or gospel this or gospel. And then you think, okay, Christian. And then they think, okay, Christian rock or contemporary Christian, and then all this. And we should be able to know how to name what we like, because even though they may look at us weird thinking, well, that's just supposed to be for church, or, that's not something you should be able to play every day, because congregationals gets on the nerves of the world, and their music gets on the nerves of Christians. Very opposite. The devil's always been opposite of the way the Lord wants it done.
That's good.
And seeing them have enough gumption to play their music no matter what Christians say.
Amen.
We should have the same gumption to play congregational music no matter what the world says. It's just total opposite.
Hey.
I know a lot of people say, well, you should respect other people. You should, I mean, if they tell you, hey, they don't like that, then you should respect them because you don't want to start a ruckus or a fight. God, the devil's always been opposite of what God has done. So if that's what the opposite of that is, them playing their music no matter what we say, the opposite of that is us playing congregationals, not something like that, but congregational music no matter what the world says, because that's opposite. That's how we should explain it. I mean, we should always do the opposite what the devil does, because he is his opposite of is what God does.
Amen.
So when we disobey, okay, point number one was we must first believe that God's word is God's word, nothing else, and that nothing else is God's word. Point number two was we're to hide God's word in our heart.
Amen.
And point number three is asking yourself the question, what are we hiding? Who or what are we hiding the word of God from?
That's good, brother.
When we disobey, don't completely obey, or choose not to hear and listen to God's word, and I'm not talking about sometimes we can read the word and just totally focus our mind on it and hoping, okay, I didn't get it yesterday. I'm hoping I'll get it this morning. Okay, I'm hoping I'll get it this morning. Okay, Lord, and just doing that, and you can take 3 hours or 4 hours doing that and not get anything from the Lord.
Amen.
Because it's not done that way. It's done in a manner of opening our heart to the Lord.
Come on.
Allowing whatever our worries are to just be given to the Lord.
Amen.
Because if we don't search our heart, if we don't allow the Lord to take away our worries or anxieties, and just say, Lord, I'm going to allow you to take care of that. I'm not even going to care about how I'm going to take care of it anymore, because I can't do it. It's going to be just you. That's when the Lord starts allowing us to hear His, learn from His word. When we disobey God's word or choose not to listen or hear God's word, we are allowing Satan or allowing the world to steal God's word from our hearts.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So on a day-by-day basis, we may have our schedule, what we do every day, our job, a time of prayer, time of devotion, things we do around the house, things we do on the computer. Used to be not so complicated when everything was done on paper. Now everything's been made complicated. Even as much as I know on the computer, I still feel like things on the computer take a lot longer because of just different things that go on, like loading or things like that. Because Satan knows how to disrupt our spiritual lives. And I think even though they may be necessary for the most part now, computers have been used widely by the devil, not just computers, TVs, all kinds of things, because Satan, always, this world is his, and he has his hand in about everything.
Yeah.
And even though we may be forced to use what we know is being used by Satan and the devil to influence people's lives for the wrong way, we can easily learn how to use them in the right manner.
Amen.
God's never been limited. God's never been limited to, okay, that's been used by the devil, I can't use that. We can learn how to use things the right way, and sometimes that means using it to do what we need to do and then stop.
Amen.
And go do something else.
That's
and I find that even though a lot of times we like to pass time with entertainment and things like that, a lot of times it's just best to just do something else.
Amen.
Go do something else, because entertainment is a thing that's been used by the devil.
Absolutely.
a long time too. And so we just need to spend time in the Lord's word, and our schedule maybe something the same, maybe the same way every day. And we may wonder why the Lord doesn't allow us to have more time to spend in His Word. But He wants us to also do what we're supposed to do on this earth. And He promises us, if we just give our schedule over to Him, yeah. He may give us more time to serve Him. He may not give us more time. We may have a job that takes all of our time, and we may have a job that doesn't. But no matter how much time we have to spend, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, working a job so we can pay our bills, and then other things like cleaning, because, you know, cleanliness is also one of the things God wants us to do, clean around the house, things like that. If they take a lot of our time, as long as we're keeping our heart right with the Lord and not getting angry and not getting stressed and things like that, God still promises to use the very short amount of time
Amen.
That we have. He'll use that amount of time to work in our heart that might have taken a lot longer if we had had more time to spend with Him. Because God's not limited in that manner.
Yes. Amen.
We'll go ahead and pray, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Mike. Lord, please, Lord, help this sermon be able to have been used, people's hearts that will be able to help them. Lord, that's all I wanted to do is help them. You wanted to help them, Lord, and I was just the messenger. Lord, You gave this to me. I believe that, and help all of us to apply it to our lives and bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We could just keep every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. You know, there was a lot there, amen. That was a meaty message, and I most certainly needed it. And the Lord spoke to my heart through different instances in it. Said you needed to hear that. You needed to hear that. You needed to hear that too. And I believe God spoke to us tonight. And I'd invite you, any Christians that want to come up to this altar and come and pray about something God's spoken to you about tonight, I invite you to come. I believe the Lord was in it tonight, amen. I believe there's something that each of us have in common here tonight is we can all do a better job of hiding the Word of God in our heart, amen. None of us got it nailed down. None of us got it perfect. And I'm telling you what, God is going to move in this place, and He's going to move in your lives, but we have to be able to fight that sin and take unto us the whole armor of God and just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is if we'll hide His Word in our heart. Amen? And so I invite you to come, if you will, this evening. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you've never been saved by the grace of God, you don't know for certain if you died that heaven would be your home, I invite you to come.